right. Before we spend a few moments in corporate prayer together this Lord's Day, let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew. Turn to the Gospel of Matthew with me, chapter 26. And I want to bring you with me to a most incredible scene in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where we find Jesus in this text, the Garden of Gethsemane. And he has called away Peter, James, and John for a time of intimate prayer with the Father. Matthew 26, let's begin reading here in verse 36. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over and there and pray." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me." And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "So, you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." I'll stop right there. Let's ask the Lord to direct our thoughts as we prepare our hearts for a time of prayer. Father, I thank you for this wonderful glimpse into a very intimate scene that you have shared with us. And I pray that you would allow us as your people to get the full benefit of what it is that you're showing us as your people. Lord, like you were trying to teach Peter, James, and John, I pray that you would teach us how to pray. Give us a heart for prayer. Give us a burden for prayer, Lord. So stir us up now by your word. Open our eyes to wonderful things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why is it so hard to pray? You know, why is it so hard to get people to come to a prayer meeting? Why is it so hard to get people at a prayer meeting to lift their voice and pray? Why is it so hard to pray alone in our own times with the Lord, our closet times? Why is something so simple, something so basic, something like prayer, which any one of us can do, any one of us can pray, why is it so difficult? Prayer has been called the Cinderella doctrine of the church. It is often the last and least important of doctrines in the church, which is unfortunate. And why is it that we don't pray? There are many reasons. It would actually be a great study, but if we did something a little bit more extensive, of course it would exhaust our time together here. And I want us to spend some time in prayer. But there are three hindrances to prayer that I'd like to raise that are in relation to the text before us in Matthew 26. Three hindrances to prayer. Why is it that we don't pray? Christian, it's so easy to pray. God is calling you to pray. He says, pray without ceasing. God wants you to pray. He wants to hear the prayers of his children. And it's so simple. Why don't we pray? Well, first of all, we don't have faith in our Heavenly Father. That's why we don't pray. Because we don't believe the Father. Where does Jesus go in his humanity when he feels the weakness, the limitations of his human frame? Where does he go? He slips away to the Father. This is a habit of Jesus Christ throughout his earthly ministry. Getting alone, getting away with God, with his Heavenly Father. And why is that? Jesus always does this because his faith in his Father was perfect. You know, Jesus never once doubted any single promise of God. Jesus never once doubted anything that God ever said. He says here to Peter, James, and John, "My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death." Jesus here is going through what would be the hardest time in his earthly life as he's facing the agony of the cross. And so as he's facing the agony of the cross, where does he go? Well, he goes exactly where he always goes. This isn't Jesus like you and I often do, you know, "Oh, now I'm in a real pinch. Now I need faith in God." This is Jesus simply being consistent with how he's always lived, how he's always acted. With every need in life, he comes to his Father. And he brings with him his inner three, Peter, James, and John, that they might learn with him the importance of prayer. And we read that he went a little beyond them, verse 39, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will." You know what that is? That is perfect faith. That is the confession of perfect faith. That is the confession of a man who trusted 100% entirely in his Heavenly Father. Why do we find it so hard to pray then? Because we don't have faith in our Father. And we don't have faith in our Father because we just don't trust what God has said. We don't trust Him. You know, there are five times in the Gospel of Matthew, this same Gospel we are looking into this morning, there are five times in Matthew's Gospel where Jesus rebukes His followers for being of little faith. He calls them out. He points out the fact, your faith is small. Oh, you have little faith. Jesus could say that because His faith was perfect. He knew how we in our minds tend to minimize God. And I mentioned last week that all of Jesus' miracles sent the message intended to open the eyes of people to see that with God, all things are possible. And if we believe that, we would pray. But the reason we don't pray, or one reason we don't pray, is because we don't believe that. In our heart of hearts, we really don't. We're naturalists in many ways. We're practical atheists in many ways. We look to doctors. We look to money. We look to the stock market or to the politicians to do what we feel God cannot. How would we pray if we really believed that all things are possible with God? We would pray. We would pray in faith. And we would pray because we believed. Why is it that we don't pray? Well, we don't have faith in our Heavenly Father, but we also don't have the heart of Jesus Christ the Son. We don't have the heart of Jesus. That's another reason we don't pray. You know, it's profound to consider how different is the attitude of Jesus in our text, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the attitude of His inner three disciples. Mind you, Jesus had many disciples. And of the many disciples, He had 12. Of course, one was a traitor. But of those 12, you know, Jesus had an inner circle of three that He trusted, that He took with Him to the Mount of Transfiguration. They were in on just about everything of Jesus' life, except for those times when Jesus was just alone with the Father. But they were always with Him everywhere else. And you know what? Yet we see these three disciples of Christ brought into His inner circle, as it were not feeling what Jesus was feeling. They were so aloof to the heart of the Savior. Isn't that ironic? Isn't that amazing? You see how close you can get to Jesus Christ? You see how involved you can be in ministry and miss the heart of the Savior and miss the heart of Jesus Christ? You can be in the prayer meeting. You can be in the church. You can be faithful and you could have no heart for prayer. You can go along not being burdened by the things that burden the heart of God. And that's what we see here. Jesus is falling on His face. He's in agony. Not even going to have time to go into all what those words mean. But Jesus is feeling something amazing and intense. And what is it? What is Jesus struggling with? What's He agonizing over? Sure, what the Father is calling Him to do. But what is that? It is the sins of the world that are before Him. And He's not naive about it. He's not delusional about it. He knows what He's about to experience. Why is it, brothers and sisters, then, that we can be brought into Jesus' inner circle as it was? We can be redeemed. We can be one of His own. But we can be so aloof, so insensitive, so indifferent to the heart of Jesus in prayer. Well, it's because we have set our heart, our affection on other things. And how can I know that I don't have the heart of Jesus? How can you know that your affection is elsewhere even this morning? Because you don't desire to pray. You don't desire communion with God. That's Jesus. He comes to disciples and He says, "Why can't you watch with me 1 hour?" Now, if Jesus asked us that, you might be a little intimidated. 1 hour, Lord, that's a lot of time. 1 hour? What about even just 15 minutes? Now, we're not going to have more than maybe 15 minutes to spend with God together in prayer. But are we coming simply as spectators? Are we coming simply just to be here? Just to be present? Just like Peter, James, and John, they were there. They were asleep, okay? They were physically present, but they were not participants in this time of prayer. And we can be here, and we can be present, and we can be totally checked out, and we can be totally indifferent to the heart of Jesus Christ. And that's what hurts the whole prayer meeting for the entire church, because that's what the point of this prayer meeting is. It's coming together and praying. I know we can pray alone with the Lord, but this is the time where we pray together as a church. So when you check out, you're not just missing out yourself, but you're taking something from the entire church. You're taking something from your brothers and sisters. That's serious. You're defrauding the church. Why do we do that? How can we do that? It's because we, like Jesus' disciples here, are just indifferent. We're just not feeling what Jesus is feeling. We don't have the same heart. Wouldn't that be a great thing if we could pray, not just with faith in God like Jesus had, but we could pray with the heart that he had, with the burden that he had for souls, for needs and things. I'm going to give you maybe some needs that we can pray for in just a moment here. Well, lastly, why is it that we don't pray? I want to draw your attention lastly to another thing in our text. Why is it we don't pray? We don't have the power of the Spirit. We don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 40, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, they were giving in to the sleepy eyelids that were drowsy. Who can't relate to that here, right? I'm tired. I had a long week. Guess what? Jesus knows that. Jesus had a longer week. Being tired is an excuse to cop out of a prayer meeting. Jesus wasn't giving that to his disciples. He said, stay up. Let's pray. The Spirit is willing. In other words, the Spirit of God is willing to enable you. Well, so energize your will that you will pray. That's James 5:16. The prayer that is energized, in the Greek, that's the idea, is a prayer that makes a difference. What kind of energized prayer do we need? Prayer that's energized by the Spirit of God. Not trying to work up emotions, but recognizing that in our flesh, we can't pray as we ought. You ever recognize that there's a part of you that just doesn't want to pray? Is there a part of you that just doesn't want to read the Bible? Maybe a part of you that doesn't want to come to church, isn't interested in the things of God? You say, yeah, actually, a lot of me. I feel like it's a lot of me. Well, if you're a child of God, greater is He that is in you. God has put His Spirit within you. And this morning, if you are one of His people, you need to yield to the Spirit of God and ask Him to empower you to pray as you ought. Just consider the bigger picture of this text. Here we see all the Trinity really desiring communion with Jesus' disciples. Here's the Son of God. He's yearning with this incredible passion to pray with His friends. Here's the Father waiting to hear from His children. And here Jesus tells us is the Holy Spirit willing to empower His people. We have no excuse. Why not to pray? We have no excuse. We have the promises of God from our Heavenly Father. We have the heart of Jesus revealed in Scripture to us. That the Lord has a heart for this world. He has a heart for this church. There are many things. We just read the Bible. We could see Jesus has a heart for this or that. And those are the things that we should set our affections on when we come to a time of prayer like this. And then we see even, oh Lord, I'm weak. I can't. Good. That's a good place to be. But trust the power of the Spirit of God, because He's making it available to you. So, that being said, brothers and sisters, there's no end of things that we can pray about, that we must pray about. We don't have all that much time. But what can we pray for together as a church? Well, there's plenty of people that we know who don't know Christ. This would be a great time to lift your voice and to pray for those who don't know Christ. Do you know that just about every week, we've had at least somebody walk into these doors who doesn't know Christ? That ought to burden us. And we ought to be praying, Lord, let them hear the gospel. Let them understand the call to salvation in your word. And of course, there are needs we have in the church. There's Sunday school teachers that need prayer. There are musicians. We were just up here practicing. You know, we ought to pray for those leading worship. We ought to pray for our time of worship, that we don't do so with a heart that has ulterior motives or is carried away with sound or with pride. We want to offer to the Lord pure worship. We can pray that for ourselves. as we prepare our hearts for worship, what are the motives of our heart? Of course, we all need the fresh power of God in our lives. For the sake of our country, for the sake of our families, our nation, our society, it needs to happen here. So that's what this time is about. There's no end of things to pray for. So with that, let me just open our prayer meeting with a prayer. And then as you feel love, you don't need some kind of sign in heaven. There are plenty of needs. As you feel burdened about something that you know is a need, lift your voice to God. And you don't have to take 5 minutes. You don't have to mention 10 things. Just mention one thing. Lift your voice to God and let the people of God, let's all be participants. Let's stay in tune with the Spirit of God during this time.